The Lord be with you. Let us pray. And may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts always be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. This morning in our collect and our readings, we are reminded of some important principles of the Christian life. First, we are reminded of the trials and struggles that we most certainly will face in our present lives in this world. But then we also remember that we are not alone in facing these trials. God is with us in the midst of the storms, and not only that, but God is with us all the time. He is always with us. He is that very present and steady help in our lives. And then we remember that it's through his faithfulness in the times of trouble that we come to realize that he is faithful and he is present with us all the time. And in time, we realize that God uses those trials that we just think are hard things that we have to go through, but he actually uses those trials to build his kingdom in us and through us in the world. We realize these struggles that we face are an intrinsic part of saving the world. Through these trials, the lives of the faithful will bring forth good fruit for the kingdom of God. Now, we of course know that we all face difficulties in this life. Some of these, such as illness and death, are merely things that happen to us. Bad things happen. Some hardships are a result of our following Christ, obeying his command to spread the kingdom of God and to minister to others, to love other people. That's a hardship. We're called to sacrifice and give of ourselves for the kingdom. And we see in the Psalms that David and the kingdom of Israel, they're often threatened, right? Talks about the enemies very often in the Psalms, the enemies that come after us. There's infinite ways in which we can struggle, some which we bring upon ourselves through obedience or through foolishness sometimes. Some are forced upon us. There's an infinite degree of suffering. Sometimes we're just minor inconveniences. Other times it's a life and death situation. We go through all of it. Right? The life experience is full of the whole spectrum of emotions and events that happen to us. And of course, this principle isn't just universally applicable to all people, but it's also universally applicable throughout all time. Ever since Adam's fall in the Garden of Eden, we have been subject to the sorrow of life. Our world is ruled by the creeping grip of death. And it is against this defect brought into the world by mankind, which we fight and which we struggle. If we look at our psalm today, Psalm 71, just touching on a few verses that highlights this struggle. It begins, "In thee, O Lord, have I put my trust. Let me never be put to confusion, but rid me and deliver me in thy righteousness." Struggles. We pray to be free from those struggles. "Incline thine ear unto me, save me. Deliver me, O my God, out of the hand of the ungodly, out of the hand of the unrighteous and cruel man." Verse 8, it says, "Cast me not away in the time of age. Forsake me not when my strength faileth me. Mine enemies speak against me, and they that lay wait for my soul take counsel together, saying, God hath forsaken him. Persecute him and take him, for there is none to deliver him." And we read in verse 19, "Oh, what great troubles and adversities hast thou shown me." We can all look at times in our lives and think about the troubles and adversities that we've been called to endure. Of course, we get to the epistle and it says, we see the litany of struggles that St. Paul has endured in his ministry of spreading the gospel to the Gentiles. He has been whipped and beaten and shipwrecked. He continually faced perils in his missionary work. He was opposed by both by enemies and sometimes even by those who had labored beside him and had turned against him. And yet St. Paul is still compelled to press on in the service of Christ. We get to the Old Testament lesson. It also repeats this theme of adversity, but highlights for us the adversity one faces when doing what God has called us to do. And particularly as we read this passage, we're thinking of Jesus. For he was compelled to obey God even when his obedience subjected him to persecution, torture, and death. You know, there's that line in that Old Testament, I've set my face like a flint. And we read Christ saying he turned toward Jerusalem with a face like a flint. In other words, he was unflinching in his obedience to go to Jerusalem that last time and suffer and die for us. This was not something that was forced on him. This was something that he knew that he was called to do. He knew he was called to go and suffer. In the Old Testament, verse 5, we read, the Lord has opened my ear. I was not rebellious, nor did I turn away. I gave my back to those who struck me, and my cheeks to those who plucked out the beard. I did not hide my face from shame and spitting. So Christ sets the ultimate example of sacrificial service for us. He was the only righteous one who did not deserve any of the suffering of humanity, but he endured the most suffering, taking our sins upon him as the perfect sacrifice for us. So if Jesus did not escape trials and hardships, then know that as the heirs of the curse of Adam and also as Christ's followers, neither shall we escape struggle or strife. And it may likewise be concluded that those who seek to serve Christ most devotedly can't expect the greatest hardship. Of course, the natural impulse would be to hold back from serving God with great fervor. But taking this approach, however, leaves us with an anemic faith. If one with such a disposition could even be said to have any faith at all. Recall that it is in the time of desperation that one learns Christ. When we are stretched, we learn to trust God who gives us strength. When we are weary from doing good, we learn that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. When we are abandoned and alone, we learn that God is present with us always. Such things and more are only learned through the refining fire of life. This is why I say that, you know, this life here is our purgatory. This life is our refinement. We have to be melted in the furnace and poured out into the mold and shaped and polished and crafted to become the men and women that God wants us to be. None of this process is easy. None of it is painless. But all of it is needful. All of it is good and transforms us to be the holy people of God. It is only in these trials that we learn to say with the psalmist, in thee, O Lord, have I put my trust. Let me never be put to confusion. It's only in those trials that we learn that Christ really is our stronghold. Be thou my stronghold, whereunto I may always resort. Thou hast promised to help me, for thou art my house of defense. Thou art my castle. Thou, O Lord God, art the thing that I long for. Thou art my hope, even from my youth. Through thee I have been holden up ever since I was born. Thou art he that took me out of my mother's womb. My praise shall be alway of thee. It's only in the trials that we can say with the prophet Isaiah, for the Lord God will help me, therefore I will not be disgraced. Therefore, I have set my face like a flint, and I know I will not be ashamed. He is near who justifies me, who will contend with me. Let us stand together. Who is my adversary? Let him come near. Who among you fears the Lord? Who obeys the voice of his servant? Who walks in darkness and has no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and rely upon his God. Only when we come to the end of ourselves, only when all our resources are used up, only when we have nothing more to give, then we really experience the reality of God's presence with us and learn that it is his strength that sustains us. And then we learn that further reality that it is only his strength and love that has always sustained us. When we were younger, we might have felt that we were the ones in control. We might have fooled ourselves into thinking that we were really accomplishing quite a bit. Without hardships, we readily look at our efforts and think, see all that I have done? Aren't I grand? But when all of our efforts go up in smoke, when you get to the end and realize how transitory life is, then we finally see clearly. It is all of God. We have no power of ourselves to help ourselves. If you want to know better the presence of God in your life, if you want to more fully trust in God, then you must go through the fire. There is no shortcut. In the gospel this morning from St. Luke's chapter 8, we read that parable of the sower, probably better described as the parable of the soils, because it is really about how we, individual human beings, respond to the God, to the call of God, to Christ the Word, proclaimed to us in the written word and also through preaching. Christ says there are four general categories of responses presented to us by represented by different soils. Three of those soils do not yield any grain. That's like 75% if it's proportional, right? The world, the flesh, and the devil all conspire to work against us to prevent a harvest, to keep the kingdom of God from growing. And of course, we desire to be fertile soil. We want the implanted word to grow into our hearts and bring forth fruit. But sometimes we might act a little more like that soil on the roadside, and we immediately reject the call of God to act. Sometimes our hearts might be a little rocky, and those trials that we go through in this life shake our faith to the core, and it starts to dry up and wither. Sometimes we become distracted by pleasures and riches. Maybe we just don't want to do what God is calling us to do. We'd rather go pursue some fun thing. Our focus will shift from Christ and our faith suffers. Now, these various soils represent to us also various trials that we must face throughout our life. To keep the sprout of faith growing and vibrant in our hearts, we must tend to it, especially in those dry seasons or the rocky seasons or those seasons where our hearts are just hard roadside. You know, we must exercise our agency by getting ourselves to church, by keeping connected with God through prayer and a commitment to our parish or Bible study and fellowship, doing those things in life that we are called to do. But let us remember, you know, we are going to be faithful in these things, but let us remember that it is always God who gives the increase. God will bring the trials, like it or not. But we need to be able to trust in him. We need to be able to persevere in faith through those trials. We need to deal with those dry times or those rocky times. That's where the growth happens. That's where the plant is no longer just a tender new sprout, but it becomes firmly established. God gives the increase. All things are within his power. The Father stayed with the Son during his passion. and Christ completed the work that he was given to do, redeeming the world. Christ was with St. Paul through all his missionary journeys and through all the hardships he suffered in the service of our Lord. And the apostle brought forth a great harvest of souls throughout the Roman Empire. Guess what? Christ is with us in our trials and struggles and our work for the kingdom as well. God has our backs. Let us not turn from him, but rather let us affirm more and more each day that we can, we must trust him. Let us not hope in ourselves. Let us hope in God. He is our refuge and strong tower. Trust him, and in doing so, we will be that good soil. We will be those who, with an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost.